They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're just altogether ooky. Who am I talking about?
Monsters.
I'm actually talking about the Kardashians.
Oh my God, they're going to sue us.
Bring it on. But did you also know that that's the opening lyrics to the Addams Family theme song?
I think a lot of people know those are the opening lyrics to the Addams Family theme song. It's iconic.
It's like pretty famous. So if I were to do da 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 da
da da da da
da da da.
Yes, that is right. We are talking about The Addams Family, the 1960s TV show, the 90s movies, and the new 2019 animated film.
And I'm actually very glad we're doing the movies because the sequel is so much superior to The Addams Family.
We agree on this, so I'm excited to talk about that. Yeah. So, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality. Da-da-da-da. So, guys, it's Halloween season. We just brought you our two-part episode on Batman.
Which makes sense for October, right? Mm-hmm. We wear masks for Halloween, and clowns are scary.
Clowns are so scary. Now we're bringing you the Addams Family, and we're super excited about what we're going to bring you next week. But hold your horses until then. Today, we are talking about Addams Family. With us, always, is our lovely producer to make sure we don't make fools of ourselves, Eddie Z.
I try, guys.
Hi, Eddie. And I just want to say full disclosure on my part. I'm very low energy today only because I had a lot to drink last night.
It's October, guys. It's
October.
You're Oktoberfest.
I was at Oktoberfest. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was doing research for our month of October.
He went in hard, guys. He's like a method researcher. So did you watch Addams Family growing up?
Yes, I used to watch the Addams Family growing up on Nick at Night. They used to have reruns.
Yes.
As I preferred the Addams Family over the Munsters.
That's so funny. I watched Nick at Night and I felt like it was like Munsters Monday, I Love Lucy Tuesday, Bewitched Be Wednesdays, I Dream of Jeannie Thursdays, and I don't know, it was on Fridays because
I mean that sounds about right. I know there was a time when they were maybe it wasn't Nick at Night. I thought it was Nick at Night.
You know, there's a lot. I mean, they're really like famous in our culture. There was a musical on Broadway a couple years ago. Did you see that?
Did it do well?
It lasted for at least like 2 years or something.
Oh, that's actually pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Some Broadway shows like give up after 6 months.
Yeah. And it had Nathan Lane in it. So,
was he Gomez? Really,
he was Gomez.
Oh, okay.
Kind of sad I didn't see that now. Addams Family. Well, a little bit of history. Its first incarnation was not a 1960s TV show, it was first a single panel cartoon that existed in the New Yorker cartoons for many years. And it began in 1938 by Charles Addams.
Mm hmm.
He portrayed this family made of a mother, a father, another man, two children, their butler, and then their pets. They didn't have any names, which is why I'm saying man, wife, all this stuff. They just had drawings.
The names didn't formulate until the TV show that I know. Did you ever read any of the comics?
I saw a couple of them. Uh-huh. They're cute. They're charming.
Yeah, they're just one panel. Like, they're gags, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
So I think one of the funny ones was, like, the kids running to the fireplace and putting in, like, fire.
Yeah.
And then Morticia, or as we will know her as Morticia, she's just like, oh, it's so cute. The kids still believe in Santa Claus. You know?
Yes. It's really charming. It pretty much set up everything that we know about the Addams Family. Like, they didn't derive too heavily from these cartoons when they did all of these media adaptations.
You mean deviate?
Yes, deviate. Thank you. I'm also tired. Like, Morticia looks about the same, who we come to know as Morticia and Gomez.
Yeah.
Even so, like, I feel like this new 2019 animated took a lot from the original cartoon. You could find them easily. You could just, like, Google them.
Yeah,
they're really cute.
We'll throw some links on.
We'll throw some links. And it was established that they were, like, wealthy, that they were into the macabre, and they just seemed to not really care what people thought about that. They were kind of like a deviant of your typical nuclear family. Do you guys know what a nuclear family is?
Yeah, the mother, father, like you live with the beaver.
Yeah.
2.5 kids.
Yes.
Yes.
Which was huge in the 50s. That was like conservatism, consumerism, and then just like fitting in was huge.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it was really cool that in the early 60s, TV shows were like, let's take away from this narrative. You know, let's not make another Leave It to Beaver series. Let's do something about a different kind of family. And so that's when the producers and the creators of this show, David Levy and Donald Saltzman, decided to adapt the Charles Adam cartoons into a TV show.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together ooky, the Addams Family. The house is a museum.
They sold it and to ABC, and it aired on Fridays for 2 seasons. It's actually, it was directly against the Munsters on CBS.
So the Munsters came first.
They came at like almost the same time. I don't know exactly who was the first air date, but like they both debuted in 1964.
That's interesting. So they were like the Ants and Bugs Life of that era.
Yes, they were. Okay. Yeah, that happens a lot. Guess what was the most successful TV show?
Was it the Munsters?
It was the Munsters.
Oh, why?
It just, people liked it more.
Was it because of Ed Koch?
Ed Koch.
Koch.
Ed Koch. Who? Ch-ch.
Wasn't he in it?
Fred Gwynne was the dad.
Oh, wait. Who was about. One? Didn't one of them become like the mayor of New York? No? Am I mistaken that?
You're thinking of the grandpa?
The grandpa. Doesn't he become the mayor of New York City?
No, the actor for the Munsters is Al Lewis. It looks a lot like him.
Okay,
yeah.
So all my whole life, up until this very point, I always believed that the grandpa for the Munsters would eventually one day become the mayor of New York City.
And like the Munsters had like before the 90s hit, the Munsters had like more, it was way more popular in syndication. Mm-hmm. And they had like a reunion and stuff. I think the Addams Family did, but it just kind of fell into obscurity. But before we get into that...
Wait, the Addams Family fell into
obscurity? The TV show, yeah.
Really interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, the Addams Family. By the way, also, guys, they both have really famous theme songs. Which one do you like better? The Munsters theme song or the Addams Family
Actually,
theme song?
Actually, I can't say I know what the Munsters theme
this
song is.
This is a museum when people come to see them.
That's Addams Family.
You don't know the Munsters theme song?
No, I know the Addams Family.
Here, I'll play you the Munsters. You know the Munsters theme song without knowing you know it here.
I doubt it. Oh, I know that. I didn't know that was their theme song.
Two completely different vibes, but...
Addams Family is still better.
You like the Addams Family one? It just, like, hits more. I feel like the Munsters is, like, a fun rockin' 60s song.
But it doesn't say anything about the show, does it?
No, well, that's the thing,
because
too, you know...
it shows you about the show.
I didn't see the opening credits. I was never a fan of the Munsters, to be totally... You know what it was?
What?
I hated the little kid and his fucking widow's peak.
Yeah, that little kid is creepy as hell.
Yeah, hated him. And one of my friends who is invited to the wedding, but he at one point his hair was kind of long and he had that widow's peak and he looked like Eddie Munster.
Oh my God, did you call him that to his face?
I used to call him Eddie Munster all the time.
That was my terrible nickname.
Eddie
Munster. Eddie Munster was my nickname for a
while.
Oh
my God.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy it until much later on. When I was doing triathlons and they would be like, oh, that's Eddie Munster. He's killing it.
Yes.
But
that's appropriate.
As a kid, I used to hate it.
They're both very similar. They're both kind of like different takes on the nuclear family and that they look different and they're into different things. Like the Munsters more so, they look like Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Dracula, and Eddie Munster is just a fucking weirdo. The Addams Family looks...
He's a werewolf.
There we go. He's a weirdo too. But the Addams Family, Morticia looks very... She looks very gothic. And other than Lurch, you know, they kind of look relatively normal.
Relatively normal.
But it's their interests definitely... They do, yeah. They just look
foreign,
different.
Exotic.
They look like... Yeah, they also look like old money.
Yes.
No,
right.
But
they do.
Like Transylvania old money.
Right, yes, right.
Yeah, yes. Like that.
They do.
Not like the South old money.
Well, no, actually, but Uncle Fester just looks like a weirdo. Uncle Fester always just like outs them as weirdo.
Yeah. But no, I don't know. I feel like the Addams Family is so much cooler than the Munsters. Can't believe that. I'm so, right now I'm going to hark on that. I can't believe they did better in
ratings.
We
moved past that, Rolando.
It's so upsetting.
For the TV show, when they were developing it, Charles Adams was pretty involved. He helped them kind of find their characters. But for the most part, he let them take over. So Morticia is one of the ones that Charles Adams had the most impact on because he based it off of his wife, maybe ex-wife.
Oh.
And he came up with the name Morticia. But actually, Gomez, and Morticia was played by Carolyn Jones. But Gomez, who was played by John Astin...
Not
Charles
Sean
Adams
Astin.
Just let him, not John Astin, no. He kind of just let John Astin create him himself. Mm. And he gave them the choice between a couple of different names because he was like, I don't really know his name, but here are some names that I like. And John Aston picked Gomez.
Gomez Adams.
And then he fashioned him to be like a Latin lover kind who was.
Yes.
And he's the one who came up with the fact that he's utterly devoted to Morticia.
Right.
Which is a big factor of this relationship and dynamic. And because I think the Adams family is more of a matriarch.
Oh, interesting. I don't know. The Adams. I guess it depends on which iteration we're looking at.
True. Well, it's also interesting because they're all Adams, but in the TV show, Fester is Morticia's uncle, and he's Fester Adams.
Oh, really? I actually can't say I picked that up.
Yeah, I watched an episode where that happened because they met his sister, which is her mother? Uh-huh. Something like, or aunt, yeah. So it was just like, oh, you're her uncle, not the kid's uncles. He's somebody's uncles usually. And in the show, the grandmother is Gomez's mother.
Yes.
And the grandmother goes back and forth between whose grandmother is she?
But, Grandmama.
Grandmama, yeah. Grandmama. So the Adams family, Morticia Adams, Gomez Adams, there's Uncle Fester, and then there's Wednesday Adams and Pugsley Adams.
Wednesday.
In this show, she's the youngest one, so Pugsley's older. And they're both kind of like seemingly normal kids that just like are deceptive in like how strong they are or, you know, how crazy they can sometimes be, but they just kind of come off as normal kids, especially Wednesday. She kind of, there's a couple of episodes where she's taking ballet. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really have this dark tone to her.
Well, I think that was interesting. So it's the parents who are more so into the macabre.
Yes.
Right. And I think sometimes they use the kids oftentimes to kind of like juxtapose, like what the parents feel is like their normal.
Yes.
And how the kids sometimes, because they're kids, will fall into like the traps of society and stuff.
Yes. Did you see that episode with Pugsley?
Yes, the second episode, yeah. I think it was, right, where Pugsley decides to do baseball and he wants to become a Boy Scout. He has a puppy and like...
They're horrified.
Morticia was terrified. The best scene is like when Morticia looks outside the window like, ah, look, he's hanging out with that thing. And it's a puppy.
Yeah. You know? I love that episode just because that's also probably how I would react to my kid wanting to play baseball, mm-hmm, and my kid wanting to be in Boy Scouts. I'd be like, oh my God, where did I go wrong?
Or beauty pageants?
Yeah. And I kind of love that too because when I watched that episode, I was like, this is hilarious that this was a dark, like, this was supposed to be comedic in the 60s because these are the things you want for your child. But from a 2019 perspective, I was like, girl, I am 100% with you other than the puppy thing. The puppy, mm-hmm, is cute. Mm-hmm. So I kind of love that too, because it's very much just like, not knowing it, but from me and my 2019 perspective, I was just looking at it as like, oh, questioning, you know, the norms and the mores, mm-hmm, of the era, which to this day is just like, that's stupid. But yeah, so this show also has a character named Thing. And in this show, Thing was created just a couple of years before the show. And Charles Adams had him as something that is just too terrible to be seen in daylight. So he just kind of lives in the shadows. And the only thing that he can really do is take his hand out and address it. Because if you were to see the rest of him, mm-hmm, he'd be too horrifying for eyes. Mm-hmm. So in the show, this hand usually just like appears from a box or something. Mm-hmm. And he's implied that he lives somewhere within the building. And then he kind of disguises himself and just comes out with his hand because that's the only part he lets you see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I like that version of Thing. I like that there's potentially a whole human body attached to this that is just too so other.
Interesting. I just agree to disagree on that one.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later. And then this show created a character that is later introduced in all other forms.
Oh, I know which one. I know actually the character. It's It.
It. Cousin It.
It is created by... Yeah. Which is the greatest creation, too, for
such
a character.
A smart creation,
like,
yeah.
Let me tell you, like, when you want to talk about... Yeah, I think It is much more iconic than Thing, for sure. It's just a head. It's just, yes, a hair.
Yes.
How no drag queen has tried to make that a drag thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's true.
Like, you know, for Halloween, you just, like, a head, just hair, but you just see your face.
Uh-huh.
I can already imagine it.
Thing, yeah, so It is just this full hair thing, mm-hmm, really small, speaks this other language, but he's, like, he's... a master at everything. Mm-hmm. He's like a jack of all trades, but he's a master of all of it. Mm-hmm. And they're all just like mesmerized by him, and they think he's this great lover and this great, you know, tortured soul. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very, I love that too, because it's also kind of like looks can be deceiving.
Yes,
kind of message, yeah, behind it. And the show really did question a lot of things, that because the producer also worked a lot on Marx Brothers films in the 30s. Mm-hmm. So, and the Marx Brothers were known for being wacky and zany, but they also questioned a lot of things that people like held in high regard. And it was like, let's look at this from a different point of view. Mm-hmm. So there are things that they question, like school and hierarchy systems, or like corruption. What is crime and what is corruption? Mm-hmm. Like, there's this episode where burglars break into their houses and they treat them like as they're like family members. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it really does question social mores.
That was always the thing with the Addams Family, right? They were absolutely some of the greatest hosts.
Yes.
Like, they were always so polite to like the people. I mean, that was also the gag on the show, right? Where mm-hmm. you have like these normal humans coming to the Addams Family. They're mortified by what they're experiencing and seeing, but the Addams Family themselves are so polite, so kind to them. They don't understand. They can't fathom. It's just like, why do you think, like, they don't even realize that they're being thought of as weird.
Yes. They're like blissfully ignorant, mm-hmm. and like, they're okay with it though. Cause life works out. Like, everyone else that they come into encounter with is like totally bugging out. Mm-hmm. They could come off as like rude for just like how they're like mystified while being in their houses, and they're very warm and welcoming to them. If this is indeed, and I see this now in a lot of memes going around on the internet, but a lot of people have pointed out that like this show was meant to be kind of like the counterpart to a traditional family, and this family is very tight-knit. They're really close, they're supportive of each other, and the husband's madly in love with the wife. And it's just like, if this is the yin to reality's yang, then that's like kind of sad that
Tish,
he calls her Tish.
He does call her Tish a lot, kissing her on the shoulders, which is mm-hmm. so scandalous for TV back then.
She speaks French, she goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the things that they establish. I love how they establish this like passionate love affair.
Yes.
Because I think it's something that gets translated very well in one of the iterations to come.
Yes.
But like, I think for sure, you were talking about memes and stuff. I think one of my favorite memes to come from the Addams Family is basically just the two of both Morticia and Gomez together. Mm-hmm. I think they're just like looking just together. And it's just like, this could be us, but you always playing. Right? Because like I think their love is so strong, so powerful. It's just like those are real relationship goals. As a society, I think maybe their love is more realistic in a weird sense. Like, they could be passionate, madly in love with each other. But like, what makes them so kind of real is just like the love that they have for both themselves and like their family. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like too romanticized about what love could be, but like their love seems so pure, which is so weird considering like the world that they're building.
True.
You know?
And very sexual love too. Like,
oh, so super really hypersexual. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that's the thing. And I think it's funny. I didn't remember necessarily, because when I think of Addams Family, obviously the one I go to is like the 90s movies. Mm-hmm. However, when I was rewatching these, I was like, oh, I forgot how adorable this Morticia is. And I forgot like how cute the whole family looks.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, but this Morticia, like her waist is just like cinched to the max. She's like that hourglass figure. She's hot.
She is hot.
She's just a hot lady.
Yeah, Carolyn Jones is really, she's a hot Morticia.
Carita mia.
When we're together, darling, every night is Halloween.
Uncle Fester in the show, I feel like, is pretty defining as Uncle Fester. Like, his role is just like that really supportive, lovely older uncle who just looks so frightening. Mm-hmm. He's played by Jackie Coogan, who was the first kind of child actor when he started in The Kid in 1921 with Charlie Chaplin. Mm-hmm. Grew up to be Uncle Fester, one of his other iconic roles. And he's just like, he's weird. The voice pitch that Jackie Coogan chose for it too is like really well, because it's kind of creepy, but he's so lovely.
Well, what are you going to do about it? Just stand there and take it?
Certainly not.
When people insulted me, I always turned the other cheek.
Well?
I ran out of cheeks. No, there's only one way to settle this. I'll shoot him in the back.
Yeah, I've actually never been a fan of Uncle Fester.
Oh, no?
No, I was never fond of his character in any iteration. Growing up, I was just like, don't care.
Okay.
Don't care.
You didn't like him in this one?
When
watching it?
He's not my favorite one, but he's not my least favorite.
Yeah.
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 If that's like, yeah.
I get you.
Yeah.
Well, we're not really talking about the two kids and Grandmama, because I feel like they're not very well defined in this show. Like, the adults are put more at the center.
I think Pugsley. Yeah, they're just kids.
They're just kids.
They're kind of trying to make it into the world. Grandmama, I don't know. She shows up like sporadically. She's like part of the family, but she shows up like when you need a joke or something.
She's not always there. Yeah. Right.
The one that is actually very present a lot, though, is Lurch.
Lurch, yeah.
Who is, talk about, that's good casting.
Yes.
I don't know how much makeup they need on the man.
Yeah, Ted Cassidy. He even, he was so like good at this. Batman was also an ABC show, and that actor Ted Cassidy played Lurch in Batman.
Uh-huh.
Because he was just like so good at like this kind of Frankenstein-like creature.
Oh, interesting.
Who, but he's also a beautiful man.
Oh, speaking of crossovers then.
Yeah, that was a crossover.
There's another one. The Lost in Space robot. Did you ever see that episode?
Was he on Batman?
It was on Addams Family.
Oh, was it? I didn't see that.
There's an episode where like they build a robot for Lurch.
Uh-huh.
Like to help him.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, because he's like the only butler in this gigantic mansion. Oh, and so they get him a robot, and the robot is the Lost in Space robot.
That is so charming.
I think it's in season 2.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, the show only lasted for 2 seasons, 60 episodes. That's it. And it was, did you like it?
The show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked it. I actually, the reason I used to watch it was because the 90s, I liked the 90s movie.
Yes.
Like growing up, like as a kid, and like, you know, I wasn't a fan necessarily. It was black and white, and that was kind of a disappointment. I had to get over that.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I've never. I can't. It's just like my world is in color, and I feel like I should see only things in color. but no, I the show was cute. It's again, it took me like, I was younger, and I had to like kind of get my wrap my head around the fact that like this was older than the movies.
Yes. So, but now rewatching
them. And rewatching it, I'm just like, it's a charming show. I thought it's a cute show. It's it passed the test of time, right? Where I could like rewatch and it's just like, oh, I still find it funny, right? Because the jokes aren't dated, because the jokes are about how weird the Addams Family are.
It's about people and like people's interactions and like our not ethics. It is about our ethics, but also like our codes and our conduct, which I feel like is also so resonating to this day. Like I said, a couple of times in this episode, I was like, I agree with Morticia. I agree with Gomez. And now they're like horrified that their children are going down the wrong path or just like doing things that you don't want them to do. Mm-hmm. And the things that they find interesting are things that I also kind of find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that too, because kind of like social mores and I'm trying to think of a word where it's just like questioning things that we all hold like dear to our hearts and like is accepted as like the rules of like proper conduct. Like that's what they question.
Nonconformist.
I suppose so. Yeah, they are definitely nonconformist without like trying. They're not trying hard to, that's just naturally who the Addams Family is.
Interesting. And yet, couldn't you argue though that the Addams, that the two parents are trying to make their children conform to their norms, though?
Oh, for sure. They're traditionalists to their core.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they hold their Addams Family surname very close to them. In all iterations of the Addams Family, I feel like there's always like something that like the kids have to do in order to like hold the Addams tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They hold their lineage, which is, yeah, they're purposely nonconformist then, maybe.
I think also in this one, we are introduced to Gomez's his obsession with his swordplay and stuff. And
yes, that we
which
are
will carry over
to
into every iteration. Well.
Yeah.
Well, just before we hit the 90s, you know, they had their animated series.
Yeah,
yes, that's true.
Because they had a crossover with Hanna-Barbera's Scooby-Doo.
Oh, did they?
Their episode. So there was third episode of Scooby-Doo, and the Addams Family and the Scooby-Doo gang encounter because Wendy's missing. Wednesday is missing. So the Scooby-Doo gang get involved. But it got such good ratings that episode, and people were so attracted to the Addams Family that they ended up developing an animated series of Addams Family in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
It was an animated series. It was actually at least 2 animated series.
Yeah, they did a revival.
Because I think after the success of the movies, they had a 90s animated series that I remember watching as a kid.
Yes, they did. All right, so let's jump forward to the 90s.
90s.
So,
90 what?
1991.
One.
Produced producer Scott Rudin had this idea. He's a producer. He's pretty famous.
Is he?
Yeah. Scott Rudin. He had the idea of developing a live-action Addams Family. And I think he pitched it to a studio that maybe it was Paramount, maybe it was Universal, but he couldn't get the rights to it because Orion had it. And then Orion fast-tracked a movie of the Addams Family. They asked Tim Burton to direct it. He declined. They gave it to Barry Sonnenfeld.
I wonder what a Tim Burton Addams Family would be like. Yeah, I feel like I would not like it.
Yeah, it's almost like too much of a given for
it's
Tim
Burton. Yeah, it's too on the nose.
Yeah, so I'm okay without that. But that was also the time period where he just came off of Batman, was doing Edward Scissorhands, so it could have been good because he was a pretty strong filmmaker on that time period. I don't think he's strong anymore. Barry Sonnenfeld, it was his first film. And apparently it was one hell of a stressful shooting thing.
Yeah.
Like halfway through the movie, Orion was like, because they went over their budget. Yeah. Like a lot of like the cinematographer walked off the set. They had to replace him. Barry Sonnenfeld's wife got sick. Raul Julia had like his eye, like something like a vein in his eye popped and he had to go to the surgery. So they had to like film around him. Just like all this shit went wrong.
I thought this is when Raul Julia was starting to get sick.
I think, yeah, because he died only right after Adams Family Values.
Yeah.
So Raul Julia was having health complications, the actor who played Gomez Adams. And yeah, it was just like they went $5 million over budget. Mm-hmm. And Orion, who just wasn't in a good financial state at that period, was freaking out. And they're like, we're going to have another really expensive failure on our hands. So they decided halfway through production to sell it to Paramount.
Uh-huh.
And so Paramount completed it. And it ended up being a smash. Mm-hmm. It got a sequel and everything. Poor Orion. They could have like really been even more successful. But
yeah. The audience loved this movie. Critics less so.
Yeah.
Critics, this at most, I would think this is like a mixed review movie.
It is.
Yeah.
It definitely is a mixed review film because I also, like, I think during the production, the script was going through constant rewrites while they were shooting. So it just, there are kind of, for something like that, the film kind of holds together pretty well.
It does, outside of the ending, I think is where the movie gets a little, you feel it. You feel the rush, right? Like, yeah. How they resolve Fester's storyline was kind of almost like Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Right? Like lightning strikes and now it's just like, I got all my memories back. I was in the Bermuda Triangle. It's just like, oh.
I am Uncle Fester, yeah.
Even in the, yeah. So even like watching it as a kid, it always felt like kind of, and then watching it as an adult now, I'm just like, yeah, this is, you could definitely feel like here for sure.
Yes. So the plot of the 90s first film, The Addams Family, is that Uncle Fester has been missing for many years. And in this movie, Uncle Fester is Gomez's brother. Grandmama is Morticia's mother. And there's Pugsley and Adam and Pugsley and Wednesday. And they find Uncle Fester, but Uncle Fester is living as kind of like a goon to this woman who's kind of like her own form of a mobster that planned to take the fact that they think that he's Uncle Fester and fraud them.
Right. Specifically, it was like their lawyer who was the one who kind of set all the pieces in motion.
Who like hated Gomez.
He did hate Gomez, but he also was like, he was in debt to the woman. Who
the
was
woman,
paying.
Yeah. He's like, let's con this family into giving us all their money because you look just like Uncle Fester, who Gomez is talking about nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
So then Uncle Fester kind of like, this man pretends to be Uncle Fester, joins the Addams Family clan, and slowly but surely falls in love with them, and then lightning strikes 10 minutes of the ending, and he finds out that indeed he is Uncle Fester. Mm-hmm.
Did you sleep well?
Like the dead.
Really? Who would have thought the Bermuda Triangle could change a man so much? You used to toss and turn all night. We had to chain you to the bedpost.
Doesn't make sense.
The Bermuda Triangle. It's a very strange and mysterious place.
Morticia is played by Angelica Houston, who had like one hell of a fucking terrible time putting on her outfit.
Because really?
In order for her to get her eyes, they had to put like latex that held like her skin back.
Oh.
Put it under her wig. And like she was wrapped in latex too. And like if she took it off, if she didn't take it off, she would get like severe migraines. Like it really fucked up her body. And she did it for 2 movies.
Yeah.
Which is insane. But apparently the only way she could get through, like that's also why she moved a certain way and she couldn't like really move her head. Like she moved like her body only.
Interesting. I never noticed like, that. But like kind of makes
but
her
it
feel.
It adds though.
It does. It makes her feel.
Just like the whole twist of the body like that.
Yes. Yes.
It makes her feel otherworldly.
But she looks gorgeous in this movie.
Oh, she looks
She's
great.
She's so hot. Yeah. Really, yeah. Pretty sexy. Raul Julia's Gomez.
Puerto Rican Raul Julia.
Yes, a great theater actor who I feel like we don't really see him in films that much. He didn't really get to be a film actor. And this is one of the first films he did. And then he died, unfortunately.
He died after Street Fighter.
Yeah, he had a stroke.
So terrible. He's in movies. Like, he's in other movies. He's in Francis Ford Coppola's major flop, One from the Heart. But, like, we don't, like, Raul Julia just never got a chance to shine. And he's great as Gomez.
Oh, he is fantastic.
He took all the things that John Astin, like, solidified about the character. And he just, like, made it even, like, amplified it by 100. Yeah. He's really great.
He... Like, again, like, talking about Morticia and Gomez, so here not only do you see their love, but, like, these are two, they're both attractive people, like, when they're out of costume, sure.
Yes.
But, like, as these characters, they become so sexy.
Yeah.
Like, the two of them are just oozing, dripping sexuality.
They are.
When they are in character, and you just feel how passionately in love they are.
Yes. I feel like when John Astin looked at Carolyn Jones, like, a man who's just drop dead in love, but when, like, Raul Julia looks at her, he's like 100% in lust too. Like, you just feel like the sexual energy coming off of them, which is really hot, which is why a lot of people love them. And, like, that's why we also have this impression of Gomez and Morticia being like the ultimate love relationship that we all want to go for. They were really convincing.
No, the chemistry was great.
Unhappy, darling?
Yes, completely.
Gomez. Son, il me perce comme un poignard.
Oh, Tish, that's French.
Oui.
So in this movie, they casted the actors for Wednesday and Pugsley to be older, and so that we would get more of them being like more of a presence in the family.
Yeah, not that much older in the first one, though. Like,
no, but they were
Wednesday,
like,
Wednesday was still like kind of,
because in the TV show Wednesday was 6, Pugsley was 8, and they were really definitely like 10 and 12 in the movie.
I feel like it's not like that significant much of a jump, because also, like, and this is why I think Addams Family is a superior movie. They're underutilized, Pugsley and
Pugsley 100%,
and Wednesday in this one, like, we in see her one, but like she's still not like. They didn't realize Christina Ricci's full potential up until
they didn't.
The sequel.
Yeah, so Christina Ricci is Wednesday Addams, and I mean, she, the reason why Wednesday Addams is like always a Halloween costume.
Yeah,
you go to any party, you see Wednesday Addams, and people just love her, is because Christina Ricci really made this character. Mm-hmm. In the original show, she was too much of a young girl, and she was just a young girl. But in this movie, she's more macabre. She's more interested in like darker things. She's very dark herself, and her delivery is so dry.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really great. Portrayal by Christina Ricci, one of her most iconic.
Yeah.
Pugsley, sit in the chair.
Why?
So we can play a game.
What game?
It's called Is There a God?
So yeah, she was everywhere though. Like, everyone kind of just wanted to be her. I think her follow-up, Two Mermaids, was indeed the Addams Family, so she was still very young.
Mm-hmm.
She was great. And Pugsley was just not really used.
Who? I don't even know who played him. He was just a kid.
Yeah.
His, like, he was always trying to kill Wednesday, but Wednesday always outsmarted him.
Pugsley was played by Jimmy Workman.
Oh, never heard of him.
Yeah, I mean, he's also just had the unfair thing of being cast against and having to work with Christina Ricci, who is exceptionally good at what she does. But yeah, Pugsley doesn't really do anything in this movie. So yeah, so this one is more focused around Uncle Fester, who is played by Christopher Lloyd.
Yes, who is, who, he's Doc Brown.
Back to the Future.
Thank he was you. A bad My guy. My mind is going 2 miles a minute. 2 miles an hour. he was from... I mean, that's like his most famous role. I'm pretty sure he's known for other things.
Yeah, he was the bad guy in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, that's right. He was Judge Doom.
Yes.
Yeah. That's another good role for him. Yeah. But he's fine as Uncle Fester. Again, one of my biggest pet peeves about this movie is just like the whole movie is literally about Uncle Fester. I'm just like,
it is. The whole movie is pretty much
my least
about
fucking
that.
Favorite character.
Yeah, I like Uncle Fester. The second one's also, again, pretty much about Uncle Fester.
And the movie is saved by the subplot of
Wednesday
going
at
to
the
camp.
Yeah, this movie is really focused around the adults more so Gomez and Fester's relationship.
Oh, I love, I do appreciate. Also, because not only is Gomez passionately in love with Morticia, you also see how madly passionate he is about
his brother,
his family.
Yeah.
Like, that is the other thing that really shines through with Raul Julia's performance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he's like too enamored and he like has too much faith that he's made a fool of a mm-hmm. lot in this movie. The big thing is that he wants his brother to dance the mamushka with him in this film, something that they did as children and that he wants to bring back, again, a big tradition that is important to them. And even though he passes it, it's like after that when he realizes that his brother's a fraud and he goes insane. Mm-hmm. Also, he plays with a train set in this movie, which also John Astin did mm-hmm. in the original. So there's a lot taken directly from the 60s TV show. Thing is in this movie, but instead of a hand in a box, he's literally a dismembered uh-huh. hand who just walks around. Uh-huh. And I feel like it's just not that as impactful.
Oh, I disagree with you. It's totally impactful. It's so creepy. It's so gross. The jokes they have around it, like uh-huh. for example, when Grandmama is like saying for the seance, and she's just like, "Hold my hand," and then like, "I can't feel you." So it's like the poor lawyer's wife mm-hmm. who will end up with cousin It later on, when she holds her hand and stuff. She's like, "I can't."
Yeah,
you see the scream because you just see like the disembodied hand just like fucking running. I think it makes great gags.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I appreciate it much more than this, because I understand in the 60s.
Yeah.
60s, you were limited by what you can do.
True, but it was also because in the original cartoon show, it was the fact that this hand actually belonged to a body that was hidden in the dark. But so like the idea of like, what is that hand attached to?
Interesting.
There's always this mystery.
Because even in the show, like they don't necessarily get into that. Like the fact that there is like something otherworldly about it.
Well,
right?
True, but like, yeah, you could definitely tell that.
I guess my imagination never went that way. That there was something attached to it.
I think at one point there's a warning sign in the front gates that says "Beware of the thing."
I think, but the warning is actually about the gate because the gate.
The gate's people. Alive. Yeah.
Yeah. Because so for example, like in the very first episode, no.
My research is referring to
thing.
Yeah, so he's like definitely this entity that they don't.
I thought it was referring to the.
That's why they call him Thing, because they don't even know what he is. Mm. He's just like this monstrosity.
Actually, his name is Thing T Thing.
Yeah. So they just disregarded that. It's like it's cool CGI and it makes for cool gags, but the idea of a disembodied hand that just like walks around. I like the allure of what is the hand attached to in the original.
Interesting. I mean, you need what's it called? You need Lurch needs an assistant, and Thing plays the perfect assistant to Lurch.
Yeah. Lurch is in this movie. Lurch isn't as handsome as the first Lurch, but
all right, I don't know why we're throwing the word handsome around for the word Lurch, because like I don't think he's handsome. Have we seen Lurch?
He's handsome.
Yeah.
In the
first one.
Yeah, and some people dig tall and thin.
Is that it? That's the only criteria?
Well, no, he's tall also and handsome. And handsome.
It helps.
It does help, for sure. They introduce Cousin It in this one, too. They introduce a lot of different other Adams, like the two-headed sisters that they were both in love with.
Fauna and Fiona.
And Flora. Yes. Yeah, Fauna and Flora. There's like Cousin Ophelia. You know, there's just they bring in this whole Addams Family clan into this movie to continue and like expand the lore of them. Mm-hmm. And there was a sequel, Addams Family Values, which enjoy way more than the first one.
Yes, because Joan Cusack is an American treasure.
Joan Cusack is so good. So in Addams Family Values, Uncle Fester finds a woman, you know, because he's never had one, and he gets married.
I think this is where I do like Uncle Fester in this, right? Because he sees the passionate love that Morticia and Gomez has,
and he wants it. Yeah. So she is a nanny. She comes in as a nanny for the kids, but then she's like, "I don't want to fucking do this." So she like convinces them to get sent off to camp, mm-hmm. which is great because she's actually a perfect fit for that family. This whole character, she's secretly a black widow, and she kills all of her husbands for money.
For money.
So Uncle Fester and her get married, mm-hmm. but so there's two plots going on. It's like her trying to kill him and trying to like steal all of his gold and his money and Adams' riches,
which also has some of the best visual gags in the movie.
All the things that she tries to kill him with. She tries to electrocute him when he's in the bathtub, tries to blow up the house, and he's like living for it and does not die. And she's just like, "Why won't you die?"
That's the best part, actually, when she blows up the house and she's just like, so you see the scene, right? When she's in the car, she has like, she's in the veil. And like her sunglasses, and she's just like,
she's pretending to cry.
She's practicing her cry.
Yeah,
and then it explodes, and she's like putting on her makeup. It's such a good, it's such a good look for her.
Yes, she's great.
And then she sees Uncle Fester coming up, and she pulls out the gun. She's like had enough at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
I think even Uncle Fester thought the gun being pulled out was like foreplay.
I think, yes, yeah, yeah. He did, yeah. So, oh, just so good. But, and then also, they have a baby, Pubert Adams, so that's another thing added to it.
Yeah, because at the very end of the Adams family, Morticia reveals to Gomez
that she's pregnant, yeah. And then the camp scenes of Wednesday and Pugsley at an all-American camp.
Wednesday experiences her first boy relationship.
Yes.
It's the cutest thing.
And they're put into the musical.
Oh, that musical. Where Wednesday then decides to have an uprising as the Native Americans.
Yes. This movie, she's so much darker. I mean, it's implied that she commits murder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In this movie, which well, is Well,
they
insane.
Imply it a little bit in the previous ones. Like this a one, little they, bit, yeah. They visually imply it. In the previous ones, it was always like kind of verbally implied.
Yes. But yeah, the camp scenes are great. Like her in direct contrast to the two, not only the girl that's kind of like the evil one, but the two camp counselors, one of them Christine Baranski.
Yeah, and the it's other one so who's like, ah, he's another famous, like, he's mostly for voice acting, but, like, he plays a lot of roles.
Yes.
I forgot his name. And he was great in this thing, too. Like, him, like, as a camp counselor, right, when he's trying to get the kids to, like, dance uh-huh. and sing, and he's, like, has a script, and he's just smacking, getting their attention. No?
No.
He's just like, oh, I got it. So oh, yes, good. He's just yes. like, he's just like, he's
yes. just, like, smacking. You know? He was great. So, you know, there's supposed to be a third one, but because Raul Julia died, they had to pass on it.
Didn't it go direct to DVD?
It did. And Tim Curry was... nobody returned. But like Tim Curry played Gomez Adams and other...
Tim Curry?
Daryl Hannah, I think, played Morticia. Oh. It was called Adams Family Reunion, I believe.
Yeah, that's it.
So yeah, they were planning on a third because Adams Family Values was, again, a big smash.
Yeah.
I think like, yeah. So the original film, it was like $30 million budget. And then it made in returns... $190 million.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Which is huge, yeah.
I mean, the first one pales in comparison to, I think, the Addams Family Values.
Yeah.
And I think that's not even, like, me... Like, I had to rewatch the Addams Family just to, like, see if I can get out of the headspace of, like, I look at the values with such fondness.
Yeah.
But even rewatching it, I'm just like, yeah, this is just not as good a movie as, like, the Values.
No.
And critics would agree on that one too, because critically, the Addams Family Values performed better.
It did, yeah. Even though it didn't make as much money.
Well, shockingly.
Shockingly, yeah.
Shockingly. I don't know what it was up against, but, you know.
Yeah, 93. That's maybe Jurassic Park.
Did you see these in theater or?
No, I don't think I did, but I vividly remember my VHS just constantly putting it in to watch it.
Yeah, yeah. I saw Values in theaters. I saw the other one on VHS. I think that's what made me want to see Values in theaters.
I think I grew up on Values and went back. Mm-hmm. I remember Values being more like being surprised when I watched the first one again because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely grew up on both of them. I mean, this movie was big. It had MC Hammer wrote a song for it,
which was panned.
Yeah, no, it was a terrible song. but they also made the pinball game of this movie, which is the highest selling pinball game ever.
Oh,
the Addams Family Pinball. It's the like number one selling pinball game.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know people still play pinball.
I play it all the time when I go to Barcade.
You know, I have to say this, Nicole, right now. You just say things to, like, irk me. Who plays pinball? Okay.
You are so judgmental.
Oh,
I love it.
My world.
Who plays pinball?
Do they have the Addams Family pinball machine?
They do, yeah.
Oh,
that's
they
what
do?
I play,
interesting.
Yeah. Son of a bitch. But yeah, so overall, we both love these movies. We grew up on it. This
oh,
is
yeah,
our
yeah.
childhood.
I
this
love
is
these movies.
90s nostalgia. Okay, so 2019, Addams Family. Universal required the rights to the, I think the comic books or something, the original comic strips, not the comic books, the comic strips by Charles Adams. And for like 10 years, they've been trying to make this movie. Again, they asked Tim Burton to make it, and Tim Burton
really?
Said no. It was supposed to be a stop motion film.
Oh, actually, I could see that. But Tim Burton doesn't make his own stop motion films.
Well, he made Corpse Bride and Frankenweenie recently.
Was Frankenweenie? I don't think was his, was it?
That was his.
Directed?
Yes. Nightmare Before Christmas, he did not direct, but he ended up directing Corpse Bride and Frankenweenie. Huh? I'm kind of glad, though, just because I'm also at this point, I'm over Tim Burton. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I'm a fan more of the Tim Burton things that aren't very Tim Burton-y. Like, he did Dumbo, and it's not necessarily a film that, like, oh, Tim Burton's like a shoo-in for that. So I kind of liked his take on that. But yeah, so they made it into a animated film. Just came out just a couple days ago. It has one of those all-star celebrity voice cast things. We got Oscar Isaac as Gomez.
Oscar Isaac.
Charlize Theron as Morticia Adams. Chloe Grace Moretz as Wednesday Adams. That poor thing is just always going to play a teenager. And like a dark teenager. Finn Wolfhard as Pugsley Adams.
Yes, this will be the second Finn Wolfhard movie we've covered.
Yes, this year. Mm-hmm. God, I'm so over him. Nick Kroll as Uncle Fester. Bette Midler as Grandmama. And apparently Snoop Dogg as Cousin It.
Snoop Dogg was Cousin It, yes.
You can only do Cousin It.
That was...
He's amazing.
Awful. And Allison Janney was the villain.
Oh, Allison Janney, who gave actually a pretty good performance.
She did, yeah. So this movie, these Adams, they live in some sort of society, and when they have this big get-together for Morticia and Gomez's wedding, an angry mob wants to kill them, I guess?
Pitchforks and...
Want to kill them, which is terrible. So they're like, we have to go somewhere where no one will ever find us and no one will ever want to go to. So they go to New Jersey.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that joke.
That was a good joke.
Where this guy's from.
Charles Adams is from New Jersey. So New Jersey. In a weird way,
and
it was fitting.
Inspired by his hometown, the Adams family in Florida.
I feel like though, like that whole like New Jersey is a crap hole was such a '90s joke that I'm like, can we move past that joke?
It's There's dated. No way a lot of America thinks New Jersey is such a crap hole.
Yeah, and,
it got laughs.
It did.
It did get laughs in the theater.
So. Yeah. Well, yeah.
It got like a big laugh from Eddie. Yeah.
I immediately put my face in my head. I was like, oh my God, like, this
movie. I hear
movie.
You, baby. I hear you.
So they kind of give like an origin story to them.
How they get the house.
Yes, how they get the house, how they got married. They found Lurch, who escaped from a mental asylum, and they take him in as their butler.
Obviously, because that's what you do with like escape.
Convicts. Yeah.
Inhabitants.
You
right?
take them in. You
give them second chances.
Mm. Yeah, and then fast forwards to many years later, they're living there.
The house is haunted in this one.
The house is haunted, yes. The house has a personality.
Explicitly haunted.
Yes.
It's constantly screaming, get out.
But then it just feeds them coffee and it's fine.
Yeah, as most people.
Mm-hmm. Flash forward many years later, they have Wednesday and Pugsley, and they are situated on a mountain or just like
a hilltop.
On a hilltop. Where there's this new village that was created by this TV personality who does like a fixer-upper TV show. And what was that character's name? Margot Needler.
Assimilation is the name of the town.
Yeah, they have a town called Assimilation. Every house is the same. And Margot Needler, because she created it, is kind of like watches over the town. Yeah, but little do they know that she literally is watching over the town because she is hidden TV cameras and microphones into all of their
She's
apartments.
Very much
and she controls it.
Voyeurism.
Yes, really creepy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so she really wants that house gone. She wanted to do like a whole makeover because she thought it would be like a great season finale or series opening for her show. The Addams Family, of course, they're like, we're happy the way we are. And so she wants to destroy them. So she gets the entire town to go against them.
Using social media.
Yes. Using, yeah. And how gullible people
neighborhood
are.
Watch, like a neighborhood watch app.
Yes. Uh-huh. So, it's interesting because although I was like, oh, wow, this is talking about like how we're all kind of, you know, sheep and like saying some heavy stuff, assimilation, you know, how we're all such a like a conformist society and we kind of just like go by what we hear and how our phones are controlling us. But even though it had all of that underneath it all, the film itself was not very strong. It like lacked a lot of beats, like it, like considering that the message I thought was something I could really get down for, I felt like the film fell flat.
Yes. Let's just give a big spoiler warning up ahead because I don't think you can talk about this movie without talking about like the ending.
Mm-hmm.
I think the ending is where like the movie falls most flat for
it
me.
Really does. It mm-hmm. builds up to this climax that like takes 2 seconds to get rid of.
So let's get right into the nitty gritty of it. So what about the messaging did you just not like?
My beef right now is that considering that they were trying to give a big message, the actual writing wasn't very good.
See, I think for me, I think one of the things that was weakest was I actually can forgive the in-your-face plot of like join assimilation and how they try not to. For me, I think some of the weaker stuff is actually, I don't know, some of the jokes felt dry or old or kind of dated. Mm-hmm. Not even counting the Jersey one. There's just other material there that kind of just didn't feel like. Like you said, they've been trying to make this movie for how long? 10 years?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's like they haven't updated the script since then. You know what I mean? And it could be a little dull at times, despite the fact that I actually think some of the voice acting was pretty good.
Yeah.
Specifically, I was a fan of Charlize Theron's relationship with Chloe Moretz. Chloe.
That's so interesting because I feel like not a lot of the characters were very like well developed, and I felt like one of the characters would be Morticia. Now, granted, we don't really get the whole love between Gomez and Morticia at all.
No, that gets like swept aside basically.
Yes, their role as parents, I think, takes more place here. I feel like there's certain characters that we focus more on, and one of them is Wednesday.
You focus
just because of like her like angsty thing of wanting to be friends with like someone else and like people outside of their house and wanting to explore. And then she goes and she joins the public school system and she's kind of the one who saves the day. And then Gomez is too busy trying to get Pugsley to do the mazurka.
Right. That's like the B plot.
Yeah.
Which and they all tie together at the end.
I felt like Morticia's role in that story wasn't as well told as Wednesday's is.
See, I think this movie, because we have to also be mindful of the fact that this movie is
a family
more,
movie.
Yeah, I think it's more for kids than just a family. I really think it's like aimed towards the kids. So this movie, more so than on any of the others, the kids are front and center. They are the main characters. This is a movie, I would say, is more about Wednesday and Pugsley. Wednesday more so. Mm-hmm. And this is a little what I kind of liked about this movie was, where I think it was kind of at its sweetest, was the relationship between Morticia and Wednesday. Which was, if you actually remember the Addams Family, when Pugsley was kind of going away from the family's traditions, and how quickly Morticia and Gomez got nervous about that. Yeah. That's basically what was happening in this movie, right? Yeah. Like, you know, Wednesday comes in with like a pink braid, or a pink barrette, thank you. Pink barrette. And, you know, Morticia's reaction is just like, what was the word? It's like, that's a gateway. That's a gateway color, right? Like, you know, like this life of sin that she'll lead now because she's like, you know, not conforming, but like she's kind of figuring out, Wednesday's kind of figuring out her individualism in the midst of the Addams Family and society.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cute. I don't know if I needed an Addams Family story for that.
That's true. Well, it's also funny how, you know, the town is called Assimilation and everyone's just like doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, that's just like two on the nose.
Yes. But the Addams Family themselves are very much that way. Mm-hmm. So it's just two opposite sides of the coin there.
That I think this is kind of where the movie itself kind of, I thought was like, almost sincere, despite the fact how weak overall the movie was. Because I actually thought Charlize Theron as Morticia, it maybe it took me like a third of the movie for me to finally like, okay, she kind of figured out her performance and stuff. And I thought it was a good performance overall.
She was great. Yeah, I thought Oscar Isaacs was also a good performance of Gomez.
Oh, that's where I disagree with you.
You didn't like him?
I was not a fan of Oscar Isaacs' performance as Gomez. I think it was, I think it might have not necessarily been the performance as much as it was just the character.
Okay.
That I was just not crazy about. First of all, like, you only see the love that Morticia and Gomez have at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. After that, it's just, like, two platonic people raising kids, right?
Yeah.
Which is not what Gomez and Morticia are for me.
No.
Like, Gomez and Morticia, I would say Gomez and Morticia would put their passion and love over raising their kids.
Yes, I would say so, you know? For sure.
They're that kind of family where it's just like, as soon as the kids are old enough to move on their own, like, they're kicking them out so that way they could keep fucking all day.
Oh my god, no.
What? They bang, okay? That's how they procreate.
They I mean, in the other movies, they're definitely, in the movie and the TV show, I feel like even they're fucking.
Yeah, for sure. In this movie, they're not. So, yeah, but I wasn't a fan of Gomez. I also did not care about Nick Kroll's Fester.
He's actually probably the only part of the movie that I laughed out loud with when he came and he sang that song during the town's performance of like, which was way on the nose about like, how you got to be the same. Him just singing that song had me fucking dying. Meh. That was the only time I laughed out loud in the whole movie.
Meh. It was.
I actually really liked Nick Cross because I also felt like his was more of a ode back to or an homage back to Jackie Coogan. And it felt more similar to that one. And they had a lot of direct references to the 60s TV show. And they took a lot from the 90s movie. So it was kind of like an amalgamation of both.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Uncle Fester was my favorite.
Interesting. No,
you just don't like Uncle Fester.
I never liked Uncle Fester. And this was just like another one where I just like, don't care. You
know? This Wednesday was definitely influenced by Christina Ricci's. But this Pugsley, I felt like they were able to create their own new Pugsley. Because we haven't really seen Pugsley like this before.
I agree. I initially did not care for Pugsley until maybe Sleeping on It for a few nights. It was just like, you know what? They created a character with him. I just thought he was too gross looking.
Yeah.
Animation wise, where I was just like, ugh.
It was good animation.
Oh, like, the way they were drawn. Yeah, this movie really is wonderfully animated.
Yeah, it's pretty beautiful. The way they look. And they look like a combination of an ode to not only the movie and the TV series that came before it, but the cartoons.
Especially Grandmama. Grandmama looked both like the actress and the cartoon.
Yes.
I don't know how they did that.
It was a really nice combination of everything.
Who played Bette Midler, right?
She was Grandmama.
That was who I underused.
Yeah, she was only in like two scenes.
Yeah, like it's just like, yo, you got Bette Midler, use her. I don't know. I think Morticia and Wednesday were two of my two favorite characters. That relationship that they kind of fleshed out in this film, I think, could have been a little stronger. Had it been, it probably would have been a wonderful film because it was kind of, I think this movie was just kind of flat.
Yeah, no, I think they were trying to say so many big things that the actual way that they said anything just didn't work.
Yeah. Now let's talk about that ending. So the ending to the film, how does the movie end?
Well, after they realize that they shouldn't kill these people, they assimilate the Adamses into the town.
Uh-huh.
So now it's like, and Uncle Fester and Margot Needler, they fall in love and then they become realtors who sell the property that she has in this town too. Uh-huh. So everything's just like wrapped up in a nice, neat little package.
That's where I had the biggest beef,
yeah,
right?
That was a little too.
It was too. She was a bad guy.
Yeah.
She was spying on all her neighbors.
And then just like that too, because all she cared about was her greed, like everything was resolved and now she's cool with them. Yeah. And it just, there was no fleshed outness at all there.
So overall, so what are your impressions of the movie overall then?
Like, overall, I'm glad I only paid $6 for it. Mm-hmm. It was okay. You know, I liked the homages that it had to all the things that came before it, especially at the end. They did like a shot by shot remake of the 60s opening TV show.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess I remember.
Like when they did the da-da-da-da and then like the cut to all the scenes, that's exactly what it is in the 1960s theme song. So I liked those aspects of it. I liked what it was trying to say, but again, the writing of it, like they didn't know how to put it all together. It was just merely okay for me. And in terms of, did we need this remake? No, we didn't need it. The Addams Family, like we said earlier too, is something that like kind of stands the test of time. So we can watch the 60s one and still kind of resonate and like it and enjoy it. Same thing with the 90s one. This one ended up, even though the 90s one dates itself in a lot of ways, and so does the 60s one, this one ends up dating itself even more. And just because they're focused too much on, I think, kind of trying to like say something, the writing is so lacking that it doesn't really hit home in any real way. And so this one, I feel like in maybe even not even 10 or 20 years, but in 5 years is going to have like an even more dated quality and just like won't really be enjoyable.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the movie talks too much and doesn't say anything.
Yep.
And it's disappointing. I agree with you. I don't think this remake was needed.
Yeah.
Even if you wanted to introduce the Addams Family to like a new generation,
yeah,
it should have been done better. And I think you can still play them, the Addams Family movies, because kids these days see worse stuff than anything the Addams Family touches in the 1990s films. You know what I mean? So it's just like, there's nothing to fear there.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I think this movie was overall flat. I think the only one out of the two of us who would disagree is Eddie, right? Because I think you enjoyed the film.
Yeah, I enjoyed the film for what it was. I feel like it was really a fun kids movie. Mm-hmm. I really loved it. I love seeing the Addams Family back on the screen. Mm-hmm. And would just love if that just gets revised somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe an animated form would just be fun just to have it that way. But I just love that. I always love that family. So
no, I love the family as well too. And I think that's also where I was struggling trying to like watch this from the point of view of a kid. Mm. And that's kind of when I realized it's like, yeah, this is a kid's movie. This isn't even a family film. This is like literally intended for children because of who our main characters in the story are.
Yeah.
But even then, I think it's still like it could have been better.
Yeah.
The Addams Family gives you so much material to work with. So it's just like, I don't know, try a little harder. Who am I yelling at? Who's the writer of this? I'm clearly yelling at a writer.
The screenplay was written by Matt Lieberman.
Matt Lieberman. No, I've never heard of him.
Yeah, never heard of him either. I can't even click his name on Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. Well,
so,
you know, just got to try a little harder, Matt Lieberman.
Yeah. It's okay. This is your first attempt. Maybe your next script will be better.
Lightning round.
Who's your favorite Morticia?
Angelica Houston.
With Carolyn Jones being a really, really tight second, I will have to say Morticia. I mean, Angelica Houston. Because she's Morticia. She's just so hot.
Uh-huh.
She's so hot.
Yeah.
She's good. She has good delivery.
Angelica
too.
Houston for sure.
Yeah. Gomez?
Raul Julia.
Yeah. I think Raul Julia for me too. With, again, John Astin being... But I enjoyed Oscar Isaacs. I enjoy all Gomez's. I like Raul Julia best.
Raul Julia is my favorite of the Gomez's.
He's a great actor. He's a beautiful man. I love his eyes.
Uh-huh.
Uncle Fester.
None of them.
You have to pick one.
I will if I have to pick one. I guess it's probably Chris. No, none of them. Never cared for fucking Uncle Fester.
For me, it's definitely Jackie Coogan. I think he really, his portrayal of Uncle Fester in the original 60s really set up all further ones, especially the animated one. But he's just like actually kind of lovable in it for me, even though you hate him.
Yeah, not a fan of any Fester.
Wednesday.
Christina Ricci.
Hands down.
SV, yeah.
Pugsley.
The new animated one.
Yeah, they really actually gave him a voice that he's never had before.
I agreed.
So the new one for sure. Grandmama.
I think I'm gonna go with whoever played her in the live action.
The 90s
version. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cause she was also just more present.
Yeah. And I think like sometimes you know what she did put the hex, for example, on Joan Cusack's character.
Yes. Do you like the first actress or the second Grandmama?
They were two different actresses?
They were two different actresses.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, then I'm going to go with the second one.
The second one? Yeah, I think that was...
She had more screen presence.
It's Carol Kane, who was in Princess Bride. She was on Breakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh. Okay.
So that's who...
I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay, she's a great actress.
No wonder I picked her. She's good. By the way, update. Matt Lieberman. He's writing the new Scooby-Doo feature.
Oh, he would. Okay. Oh, so we'll talk about him again. Let's see if you improve your writing by then, sir.
That's dangerous. I'm not happy about that.
Let's see if you learned from this, even though it's probably in production while he's reading the reviews of his script.
Wow, do you know the cast that's in this movie? You got Gina Rodriguez, Mark Wahlberg, Zac Efron.
Yeah.
He's writing also the Jetsons. Who is this Matt Lieberman and why are they giving him all these properties?
Right? Who's his father?
Oh.
How much money's in his pocket?
Okay. Well, let's see.
Okay, so I guess last but not least would be Lurch.
Lurch. I might actually go with the original TV show.
I love
Lurch.
The original. Yeah. He's hot.
I like the Lurch from the 90s movie, but like I feel like this one he's a little creepier.
In the new one?
In the TV show.
In the TV show? Yeah, no, for sure. And he's definitely got that vibe. He's got that stone cold face down really well.
Yeah.
So yeah. And he also is the one who says the really famous line, "You rang."
Yes.
So he said that. Yeah. So how do you feel? Which is your favorite Addams Family? Family? Is it the 60s one? Is it the 90s one? Or is it the new one? You got to tell us, guys. You got to email us at remakesrebootsandrevivals@gmail.com.
And you can also find us on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is remakesrebootsrevivals.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on Facebook, remakesrebootsrevivals.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's it. Yeah. That's all she wrote on the Addams Family.
That is all she wrote. All right, cool.
Well, hope you guys reach out. Let us know what you think. And
yes, happy Halloween. What are you guys going to be for Halloween?
Drunk.
You're going to be drunk.
You're going to be away, right?
Not on the actual Halloween.
Okay.
You guys don't have a costume?
No, probably not. I mean, we're away that weekend, the Halloween weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited. All right, well, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Well, we're going to be back again. We have one more, but it's Halloween season, so.
We're in the season of the witch.
Yes. All righty, guys. Well, until next time.
Stay unoriginal.